It's time for a noon kick.
Let's go, man. Come on. Let's have some fun, man.
This is Danny and Dusty on Football Friday.
You gotta see it. You gotta see it.
Brought to you by the Odyssey app. Download the Odyssey app, follow 1080 The Fan, and enable push notifications to get the latest on the Ducks, Beavers, Blazers, and more.
Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Good afternoon!
Wow.
Happy Friday! How's everybody doing today?
I mean, it's Friday. It's Football Friday.
Hell yeah.
Not many of these left.
We've got a football so hard today because we do not have a show on Monday.
Mm. Which means we get to talk NFL and college.
We've got four NFL games. Mm-hmm. We got a Saturday doubleheader, and that is okay to say for Jeff Rust.
Yes. Because it's one following the other.
1:30, the Houston Texans head to Kansas City, frigid Kansas City, Missouri, for the Chiefs. Saturday evening, we've got the Washington Commanders heading to Detroit to take on the Motor City Kitties, the Detroit Lions. And then Sunday, a nooner, Rams-Eagles.
An afternoon delight, even.
Oh, 3:30, the Baltimore Ravens head to Buffalo.
Why is it I feel like they usually only did the noon and 3:30 games for the championship weekend, you know, the conference championships? I don't remember them doing it in the divisional round before.
Good question. Don't know.
Yeah.
Good question. I don't know the answer to. I wish I had the answer to that because that does sound right. Because there was always this, oh man, we got to wait till noon instead of having like 10 a.m. kickoffs.
Right.
Right. And now we have 1:30 and 5 and noon and 3:30, which I understand it. I appreciate it. I like it. You can get your stuff done in the day and then boom, you're off. You know, that that noon kick. On the West Coast time zones, we don't do time zones well.
Noon.
Noon is when we kick games off on the East Coast over there. Like big noon kick.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's 9 a.m. out here.
Yeah.
You can think of all the things that you can get done in your day if you're like, football doesn't start till noon.
Mm-hmm.
I could do that.
But when it starts at 9 in the morning.
Yeah. You got like, you're at kids soccer, you're doing all that stuff, and you're having to keep track of all these games. We get to live that life this weekend. But I still contend West Coast, best coast for sports viewing.
Absolutely.
Oh, it is. After doing a TV show at 2 o'clock in the morning in Washington, D.C., yes. Yes. Unequivocally, yes. My God, I can't fathom trying to watch West Coast sports living on the East Coast. That is hellacious.
That's why you have the West East Coast bias towards the West Coast teams.
I mean, it's disgusting.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like 10:30 tips. Which actually means like 10:50 tips.
Well, that's like the CFP National Championship game. That's on Monday, and we'll get to that today because we won't have a show on Monday to preview it. That's 7:30 kick East Coast time, and that's like, that's where people lose me with late kick times, complaining about getting to games and getting home from games. If you have a 7:30 kick out here, it's actually starting a half hour later than what East Coast calls the primetime kick, or earlier than what East Coast calls the primetime kick. 5 o'clock West Coast time is that primetime kick. That's 8 o'clock on the East Coast.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like, well, they don't have to drive as far. Yes, they do. Like, people that are University of Tennessee fans are driving from Nashville to Knoxville across the state of Tennessee.
Yeah.
They fill up 100,000 seats in Bryant-Denny Stadium, or 92 or whatever it is, in Tuscaloosa, Alabama. There's barely 92,000 people living in Tuscaloosa, Alabama.
In Alabama.
I mean, they are driving, folks. So that's where people lose me on that. If you have the legitimate gripe, it is that it's too late for East Coast people to appreciate what West Coast football is. And I'm glad that the Big Ten and the SEC, well, the Big Ten and the Big 12, they kind of learned that lesson. The SEC didn't, because Texas went from Central Time over there, but they have teams in Central Time already.
More populated state, Oregon or Alabama?
Ooh.
It's super close.
Oregon?
Alabama.
Yeah, by a little bit?
By a couple hundred thousand.
Couple hundred thousand?
Yeah.
Yeah, so 3.5 milli? What's the biggest city? Birmingham?
Bama's 5 million.
5 million?
Total, yeah.
Oregon. We almost got 5 million people here?
Oregon, 4.433.
Are you serious, Clark?
Yeah.
I had no idea about that. I had no idea how big this state was now. Who knew?
I mean, it's. I want to say the metro area is at like 1.2 now.
Hmm.
And then the rest is meh.
Okay. So. All right. What's the biggest city?
In Oregon or?
Alabama.
Alabama?
Yeah. Birmingham has 196,000. That's crazy. Montgomery, maybe?
Huntsville. Oh, that's by well, Huntsville is actually 225,000.
Hey, look at that.
In Alabama, by population.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah, Huntsville.
Huntsville is number one?
Yeah, quarter mil.
Hmm. All right.
They got a bunch of those quarter milli cities, I bet you, like, you know, 150 to 200.
Sure. Sure. We just got Portland.
I think Portland proper is like 800,000.
Portland,
now.
Salem, Eugene.
Beaverton, Hillsboro are actually
metro area is
huge
just massive.
Cities now.
Yeah. Metro is just massive. Wow. All right. Metro's like 2.5 million now.
Is it really?
Wow. That's good what it. God. Well, the text line said it, so I'm going to believe it. I'm going to go ahead and, that's like my Wikipedia. I'll just go ahead and say that's true.
They are almost exactly right. 2024 Vancouver, Hillsboro metro area. Portland, Vancouver, Hillsboro. 2.508.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yep.
That makes sense. It's a growing area, but our freeways haven't grown with it, so we got that.
Well, the Wikipedia says the 2022 population estimate for the area, including Portland, Vancouver, Hillsboro. I guess they're including Salem in there, too.
Yeah, it goes a little bit further. But that one's like 3.8 or
3.2. Yeah. 3.28,
yeah. Hot damn. Look at that. That's hot population talk.
Yeah, but it is kind of crazy to think about, because I remember moving to Beaverton, and it was, I want to say it was like under 20,000 when I moved there, and now I think it's like 130. Yeah,
it's a little over 100.
Yeah. Yeah. That's,
I think Hillsboro's got to beat those still.
Yeah, it's crazy to think about, like, the growth of places.
Yeah, you know people mean? Move here. It's crazy. People not moving away. Mm-mm. It's nuts. It's absolutely wild to think about. You know?
Problematic.
I just can't believe it.
Finders keepers.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. That was a weird pivot that
it
we
was.
Made. But
you know what?
Here we are.
Immediately people are like, eh. Also, you had a wild upset in college basketball last night.
Oh, you mean this one?
His catch and shoot three. That's no good. Chased in the corner by Huff. 3 seconds, 2 seconds, out to Hickman for a three. It's no good. And the Beavers have defeated Gonzaga in overtime. The final score, the Beavers 97, Gonzaga 89, and a sellout crowd. Many of them beginning to stream onto the court. The Beavers in one of the great wins in the modern era. Take down mighty Gonzaga. At home before the first sellout crowd in 5 years. The Beavers 97, Gonzaga 89. And let the celebration ensue, and it certainly is, here at Grand Old Gil Coliseum.
You talking that game?
Yeah.
Is that the one that you're talking about?
Yeah.
Oregon State beating Gonzaga. Mike Parker on the call. Oregon State Radio Network. That was badass.
That was a massive upset.
Yeah, it was.
That like if the Beavers can stay above water with what they're doing this season.
Uh-huh.
Because they're actually having a relatively okay season.
Yeah.
This is the kind of win that could get you in a tournament.
I didn't know if you were talking that or Jason Swigard's Portland Pilots beating Pacific 84-81.
I didn't see that one.
It's over!
Yeah. The Pilots now 1-5 in conference play.
Oh, yes. Oh, you're on the men's side. I thought you were talking about the women. The women are...
No, women are good.
We're rolling through.
Women are good. Gonzaga, now 14-5 on the season, 5-1 in conference play. So, go Beavs. How about that? How about them Beavers? Oh, I don't want to say that. That was a Gary Anderson quote. I apologize for that. That may elicit some PTSD for Beav fans.
Yeah,
I don't want to do that.
Yeah.
I don't want to
Again,
do
the
that.
Beavs are also 14-5 and 4-2 in the West Coast Conference.
Let's go. The Tinkler. Let's go, Wayne Tinkle. How about them Beavs?
So, you know, the likelihood of them, you know, usually you get one team out of the West Coast Conference and then maybe a Pepperdine, a St. Mary's.
Well, St. Mary's now leading the way in the West Coast Conference.
So these are the kind of games where you get one of these. It's not just beating Gonzaga, it's being a ranked team.
Like, yeah.
That's that quad four.
Boy, they, well.
Or quad one win, actually.
I mean, let's not count our chickens before they hatch here because we've got another meeting with Gonzaga on the road. Two still with St. Mary's. That's going to be tough.
Oh, yeah, no, it's, but I'm saying, like, if you put something together, these are the kind of wins that...
Let's go on a run.
...that gets you into a tournament.
Let's go on a run.
Especially when they expand the tournament to 7,000 teams.
I heard that that's not as much of a slam dunk as people are saying it is.
They're going to grow it by four. Like, that's going to happen. Now, do they get it to the what is it, 78 that they want to get to? Or 78 or 82 was where they wanted to get, like,
yeah, at least it's not the Jim Boeheim 96.
Yeah, that's too freaking much, man.
He just wanted the entire Big East in.
Yeah, I mean.
Yeah.
It's whatever. But, yeah, though, they're going to get four more. They're going to get four more. Now, whether it stops there or not, I don't know. But yeah.
So that puts us to 72.
Mm-hmm. Which sounds better.
Yeah.
And 68 sounds weird.
Look, it's not as egregious as, like, if the college football playoff grows by four, because there's 133 FBS teams. There's 300 college basketball teams.
13 Division I basketball teams, last I checked.
Crazy talk. And so, yeah, growing by four, that's not that bad. That's not that bad. What we need to do is get rid of the NIT, CBI, CIT, the...
Oh, no, we've grown, ladies and gentlemen. We are up to 52.
Yeah, we need to get rid of the Uncrustables tournament happening. We need all of these things just to go away. Just give us the NCAA tournament. Make it, sure, grow it. I don't care.
What do you got against Uncrustables?
I love Uncrustables, but we need to get rid of, like, if they have, like, an Uncrustables basketball tournament. We need to get rid of that. I'm here to tell you, we need to get rid of some bowl games, too, in college football.
Don't you touch my Pop-Tart Bowl.
I was going to say, you leave that Pop-Tart Bowl alone.
Pop-Tart Bowl stays.
Yeah.
Pop-Tart Bowl has grown enough to
where
it's
become its,
like,
own thing.
You can't get rid of it.
Well, and that Tony the Tiger Bowl better stay, too, because it's great.
Yeah, well, Di would disagree. Having watched that game, it was far from great. It was bad foosball.
And any bowl game that takes place in El Paso has to stay.
Yeah. Well, now that Jaguars is closed, I don't know if it does need to stay. If you know, you know. That the Sun Bowl, I think it does need to stay, as long as we bring Brute back as the title sponsor.
That's the thing, is we need to make the sponsors make sense again. Like, the Orange Bowl needs to be sponsored by something that's orange or citrusy. The Cotton Bowl needs to be sponsored by a clothing company. Like
Fruit of the Loom Cotton Bowl?
Yes. Yes.
Not Goodyear?
Yes, no.
Well, you're not driving your cotton tires around?
No. I'm sick and tired of it. I'm sick and tired of the sponsorships not making any sense.
Well, I mean, what do you do for the Rose Bowl? There's no big Rose.
FTD.com.
FTD.
1-800-Flowers.
Yeah.
No, 1-800-Flowers Rose Bowl? Don't give me a 1-800-Rose Bowl
Bath and Body Works Rose Bowl. You know, like, Rose adjacent.
That sounds worse than the Prudential Rose Bowl.
No.
Prudential actually sounds like prestigious, you know? I don't know. What's the Holiday Bowl? Brought to you by Santa Claus?
Look, Home Depot can sponsor the Rose Bowl because you get your potting soil at Home Depot.
Okay. All right.
Like,
there we go.
Like, we can just be adjacent.
All right. All right. The Orange Bowl. Minute Maid?
Yes.
Tropicana?
Tropicana Orange Bowl.
I mean, so many.
Yeah.
A grocery chain.
You
like
know
something.
We're missing out here on that one? It's the Simply Orange Bowl.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, there you go. That's right.
Yeah. Pretentious Douche Pinstripe Bowl? Played in Yankee Stadium? No,
the
Men's Warehouse Pinstripe Bowl.
There you
bowl.
Go. See,
the mustaches are okay, but not beards. Pinstripe
yeah.
Bowl.
Yeah.
See, there's things you can work here. There's something for everyone.
All right, I'm in. As long as I get to help name them.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm okay with this. But the really weird ones, like, they need to just go away. Like the Armed Forces Bowl is usually sponsored by, like, Lockheed Martin.
Lockheed Martin, that, like, makes sense.
Yeah, yeah,
that makes sense. Yeah,
billions of dollars. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, the City of Portland Chamber of Commerce. You could do the Rose Bowl title sponsorship.
Mm.
The City of Portland Rose Bowl, played in Pasadena, California.
Come visit Portland.
You're gonna move here eventually, California.
That's not really terribly
your
different.
Your housing
than the
prices
Los Angeles,
are too expensive.
That's not really terribly different than the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, right?
Yeah.
Just a little bit more geography in between.
Yeah, the City of Portland Rose Bowl of Pasadena. I like that text. Vancouver 4 text line, 503-864-6326. That is the Vancouver 4 text line. This text, why would you get rid of more games? It's just more content. If you're not interested, don't watch. Would rather have a choice to watch or not. My only problem with the amount of bowl games we have now is we have 5-7 teams in bowl games.
Yeah, when you have to start making waivers, like we were at Army-Navy when Army's opponent dissolved for their bowl game. Mm-hmm. And they were...
Marshall.
Yeah, and it was like, and they ended up going with Louisiana Tech.
Yeah, because they were in the Liberty Bowl in
Baton Rouge, or was it Shreveport? Or
Shreveport, but yeah. Ruston is not too far from there, yeah. So they didn't have to travel.
But they were 5-7 and
yeah,
a bad team.
Yeah. I am for bad bowl games. Just make that at least be 500.
Yeah. If we're making waivers, that's a problem.
At least 500.
Yeah.
That we have multiple 5-7 teams in.
That's the thing. Is like you need to get rid of probably 6 bowl games just to trim the fat.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that what you should do is if you're going to give a waiver, so like Marshall, they were out of the bowl game because they didn't have enough players.
23 players?
You just add the remaining players from the Marshall team to
the other team?
Yeah, to Ooh. Louisiana Tech. And Louisiana Tech has to wear the Marshall uniforms in the game.
Okay. Now we're getting weird.
Yeah, now we're cosplaying as actual decent football teams.
Mm. It's the all-star cast. I like this.
Yeah.
I like where this is going. Yeah. If you're like, hey, between 2 5-7 teams, you combine the 5-7 teams.
Yeah. I mean, I think what we should do is we should have a transfer portal bowl where it's like,
together, like, it's like the Polynesian Bowl.
Yeah. Just like, Ooh. Hey, you're going to enter the portal. You go ahead. We're going to pitch you head to head. We're going to play you on at noon before the national championship
game. That could actually be kind of good.
No, it wouldn't. That'd be terrible.
I mean, it'd be terrible, but. I mean, it'd be good in like the terrible sense.
You want to watch some AAU type football?
Yeah.
You want to watch some guys just saying, "I need to get mine."
Mm-hmm.
That's your transfer portal bowl right
you
there.
You might have some defensive players like racking up targeting calls.
Oh man! All right,
I'm in on this.
There we go. Okay, let's get this show on the road, shall we? What was that last night from the Portland Trail Blazers? Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Portland Trail Blazers fall last night to the Los Angeles Clippers 118-89. Lethargic, uninspired basketball played by the hometown team.
Oh, is that what it was?
Yeah. Wasn't nearly as lethargic or uninspiring as the Nets rolled out the night before down in LA.
Ooh, doggy.
But my goodness, that was a Kawhi Leonard-less Clippers team. Took it to the Portland Trail Blazers.
Yeah, I mean, the tank stink is out. It's out. The tank, the losing, the,
yeah.
The hey, you know, everybody hold on as tight as you can. Like, We are 3 weeks away from the trade deadline. Guys are wondering where they're going to be, who they're going to be with. Do they need to move their families? You know, what's going to happen this summer? Where am I going to be? Am I going to re-sign? Am I going to extend, restructure, whatever is going on in their lives? And this is something that happens forever. And I'm not excusing this. This is the nastiness of the tank world. This is what happens. Everybody wants to be like, well, I want them to be like just good enough to be in every game, win a couple games that matter, don't really, but lose it. And it's like, no. When you tank, and the stink of it goes, and it goes sideways because these people are human, and that's why the Brooklyn Nets lost by 50 freaking 9 the night before. That's why you look at the Jazz team that gets you know, wins a great game one night, gets absolutely pummeled the next.
Yeah.
It's just when you're a bottom five team in the NBA right now in this world, this is what happens because it gets nasty.
That was... though the discouraging part about the beginning of the year, we knew that this was going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why I was so harsh on that 40-point debacle to the Utah Jazz, a bottom feeder in the West, and a team that is not in it to win this year, and you lose by that much. Like, and sure, those games have been fewer and further between, but I was so harsh on it because you knew that this time of the year was going to come,
mm-hmm.
and the bottom was truly going to fall out, and the goal of this season is to have less of those blowouts, to develop young guys, and to lean on young players, right? And to Chauncey Billups' credit, we have seen growth by a lot of the young players. What we are seeing right now is how bad it gets when what you were just talking about was everything relating to a veteran player,
mm-hmm.
not a young player.
No.
Moving your family. Am I going to sign an extension? Am I going to be here past the trade deadline? Those are all things that veteran players, mm-hmm. that's when they check out. We've seen it with DeAndre Ayton.
Okay? Oh, God, yeah. And I think that's more unrelated than anything else.
Last night was better mm-hmm. than it was against Brooklyn.
There was a concerted effort to get him involved, but
that was only on a stat sheet.
Yeah.
It was better. You still, when if you watch that mm-hmm. game, you said, that ain't DeAndre Ayton playing right now. Anthony Simons.
Oh, it was maybe the worst game of his career as a starter. And it's not just Ant. It's up and down the roster. And this is...
And this is not just a one-off, though, for Ant, though.
No, it's been the last couple games.
It's been the last five games. He is 29 of 77 mm-hmm. from the field. He has scored 78 points on 77 shots mm-hmm. in five games.
Yeah, and if you look at just the entire team in general, look at what they've done in the homestand. And look at as much as the, you know, like, hey, Scoot, start Scoot. And it's like, and this is not going to be Ant's great, you know, Scoot's bad thing. It's like, Ant's been bad. Ant's been very bad, and he knows he's been very bad. But the other part of this is, do you think it's any coincidence that the Blazers' offense has been what it's been the last couple of games with Scoot Henderson starting?
No.
This, like, for all the people you say you want, and again, I'm not laying this at the feet of Scoot. This is what you're going to go through, though, when you put him out on the floor and give him the extended minutes and you put the ball in his hands this much. You're going to go through the growing pains. Mm-hmm. You're going to go through Shaedon Sharpe not knowing how to play off of Scoot because the second Scoot gets off the ball, the defense is playing 5-on-4.
Well, and that has led to Tumani Kamara has not been good either.
No, I mean, well, and, to be fair, teams are – when you put Scoot – Tumani, Donovan on the floor at the same time, your spacing disappears.
Yep.
It's not going to work. Honestly, I was surprised that when Denny was injured or has been, you know, rolled his ankle, that they didn't start Chris.
Go Chris Murray instead.
And just kind of keep things relatively similar, so to speak. Mm-hmm. Because the second, number one, you're putting Scoot, Ant, and Shaedon out there. You're going with the small guards. You're moving Ant up to the two. You're moving Shaedon up to the three. And it's like, it's not that different, but the ask of them becomes different. And Scoot is a guy that has to have the ball. And if he has to have the ball, and Ant has to have the ball, and Shaedon has to have the ball, and as much as Scoot is a natural creator, defenses are playing off of Tumani. Like, the Miami Heat game is the perfect example of this. Two ended up with, 21 shots in that game? It's because every time Scoot drove,
mm-hmm.
they sunk down off of Tumani, knowing where the ball was going to go. And I ran the numbers on it. Scoot had 10 passes to Tumani in the game against the Heat in the half court. Led to 8 shots because they're all wide open. Because the Heat schemed it up like, yeah, we're going to sink down. We're going to help off the strong side, which you never do, because they like, we're going to dare Tumani Kamara to beat us. And he ended up going, what, 7 of 8 of 21, I believe, in that game. He hit, what, 4 of 11 threes, but the shots at the rim and the pull-ups and stuff in between just didn't go. And you start having to deal with all of these other different things, like the natural changes and patterns and sacrifices that kind of come with integrating somebody else who already on a team that is lacking shooting, you're inputting less shooting.
Sure.
So, yeah. Like I've heard some people like, I want to see the Scoot, Shea, 2, Denny, Donovan lineup. I'm like, I don't. I don't. Not even for a second.
Why not?
Because that would be the worst shooting lineup in the NBA. Hands down.
But isn't Denny kind of, with his shooting and the development and growth that we saw last year, kind of not, what we wanted to see?
Sure, but he's not treated that way. None of those guys are treated. Like, Scoot could go 8 of 10 from 3 for the next 10 games. He would not be treated any differently.
Sure.
Because he's got 100 games of shooting basically 30% from 3.
Yeah.
And he's not a plus rim finisher. So they just kind of play in between on him, and they pack the paint, and they go, figure it out, dude.
Yeah.
And if Shaedon Sharpe is already struggling to deal with his handle, and that's...
But I want to go back to the Denny thing really quick. Mm-hmm. Wasn't that kind of the part you liked about the acquisition of him, though, is that he is a shooter that isn't treated like a great shooter, and if you don't, he can make you pay for that?
Not necessarily. For him, it was that last year he trended up as a three-point shooter for the first time. He was incredibly effective from the
corners.
Because
he had volume.
Yes, and he was effective from the corners. This year, he's actually been effective above the break, and he's showing levels of growth because he was a guy who was not a shooter. He was a 30 to 32%.
Yep.
Now he's getting closer to 35, 36, and we're starting to see a little bit of normalization. I don't think Denny's ever going to be a plus shooter. That's not what I think he's going to be. But he's also another guy, when you talk about, you know, Scoot, Shea, Denny, Denny is at his best when he has the ball or working as a secondary creator in the middle of the floor. Well, if Scoot has the ball, where does Denny not have the ball? And then you'd worry about, like, if Donovan Clingan's going to be like a hard roll guy, how does he get into the paint if everybody's sucked into the paint? Like, it's just like one thing feeds into another. And now you're kind of crashing up against it. There was a text on here. I want to get to the idea of, like, teams making trades and not making trades. Somebody asked, you said, we should only get worried if other teams find a way to make trades, but Portland doesn't. The Suns just passed on Robert Williams from Nick Richards. Should we start getting worried? No, because Nick Richards is like the 10th, 11th man on a team, and the Suns had absolutely no assets to go get something. The difference between Robert Williams III and Nick Richards is a chasm.
On a contending team?
Yes.
Where is Robert Williams III? Because, I mean, I think he's probably 8th or 9th.
No, he's your first big man off the bench. That could be anywhere from 6th to 8th. But
yeah,
it's not because of talent. Like, Nick Richards, it's a talent. Like, literally just a...
I think the bigger thing there is the assets that Phoenix does not have to offer. If the Blazers would have sent Robert Williams to Phoenix, it would have been... widely,
Josh Okogie, the second round pick for Robert Williams III.
Would have been absolutely.
If Joe made that deal, he should have been fired on the spot.
Yeah, and so that's a team that I'm not worried about. That one, no. I'm worried about when actual players and actual assets get moved.
Yes,
that, like, is a periphery move.
Yeah,
Phoenix knew exactly what they were doing. Is
they needed a warm body? Move. Like, Yusuf Nurkic has been so bad. They're basically giving him DMPs at this point.
Yep,
he's finishing, I think, his 38% of his shots at the rim.
Huh? Yeah.
As a 7-footer.
Oh my gosh, you could have seen that coming.
Yeah, it's a very tough place to be.
But right.
This is the stink of the tank and the trade deadline, and some decisions are going to need to be made one way or the other to kind of clear some things up.
Well, let's get to some of the texts on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. Blazers fall to the Clippers. Look, losses aren't bad. Losses are not bad, but there is a little bit of concern that is arising in a variety of places surrounding this Blazers roster as the trade deadline does loom. Here's Rust with SportsCenter. Last night's Blazers blowout loss to the Clippers may be a sign of things to come. In the first half of that game last night, there were just as many Blazers that were 0 for 4 or worse from the field, then there were those that had more than 2 makes in the field, from the field in the first half. Wrap your head around that. Mm-hmm. There were just as many guys who
stinky.
Were 0 for 4 or worse than there were that had two makes from the field. Three apiece.
Ew.
That's a bad game. That's a bad first half. And it didn't get much better in the second half, though it did get a little bit better. Some of your feedback on the Vancouver Ford text line, 503-864-6326. After 3 years, shouldn't they be better? yeah, one would think. But when thinking about this, you've said this quite often, is that this is truly year two of a tank. Like, full-on tank job. The other two seasons were injuries pulling the ripcord at the end of the year and making this thing just go absolutely sideways. But to that texter's point, this is careening down the path of the worst four-year stretch in Blazers franchise history, mm-hmm. outside of what, the first 4 years of the franchise's existence, mm-hmm. Which can only tell us that we're 3 years away from an NBA title.
And
isn't that right?
Yeah, the thing about this stuff is, and this is exactly what I said from the jump, you either go all in on Damian Lillard or you go full reset. And the credit I gave to the front office was picking a bleeping path. Because for multiple years, they did not.
Mm-hmm.
And it was evident for the inability or lack of willingness to make moves during the prime era of Damian Lillard, even in the early era of Damian Lillard, that led to LaMarcus Aldridge's exit for nothing.
Yep.
Or getting the draft wrong in 2017, or offering huge extensions that turned into negative assets all the way through the end, for 4+ years. You had the holding on of CJ McCollum. Like, you just go down the list. Like, we don't need to revisit every part of it, but like, they chose the path, mm-hmm. which was to go full reset. And a full reset in the NBA sucks.
It does.
It is miserable. I have been trying to tell everybody this for literally 2 years. It is going to be a path that you can't see the light at the end of the tunnel until you have that guy.
Yeah.
And whether it's, in last year's draft, great, you got Zachary Risacher as the number one overall pick.
You think he's not Hawks, doing great.
I mean, none of those guys. Like, Alex Sarr was the guy that I had number one on my board, and he's starting to put some stuff together, but he's a defensive-minded guy who does a lot of other things. It's never going to be the cornerstone of your franchise. You know, over your shoulder right now, there's clips playing of Ja Morant and Victor Wembanyama, the number two pick and a number one pick. When you look at those guys, their franchise corner. Like, if I ask you about the trajectory of the Memphis Grizzlies, where would you say they are right now? Are they on the way up?
They're on the way up.
The San Antonio Spurs.
On the way up. Yeah, on the way up. Yep.
When you get the guy, then it changes. There's no amount of years that says yes. The San Antonio Spurs were in this crap for 5 years.
Yeah, I think the sting of it, though, is that you got the number three pick, and that was Scoot Henderson a year ago, and he has not elevated the trajectory of this franchise whatsoever. And sometimes that happens when you get the number three pick. There are guys that were drafted behind him that you have gone out and you've said several times, like, Thompson does not make as much sense.
No.
Amen Thompson does not make as much sense in Portland.
You're taking the biggest swing possible. And if you're looking at where they drafted Scoot and you talk to 29 other general managers, they all take Scoot because he's the guy that could be a top three guy on a team.
No. That hurts. That hurts your rebuild when the draft is not good. And that sucks. And there's always going to be the hindsight's 2020, right? And that is kind of the, I think, one thing Blazer fans are sick of as well is like, yeah, we don't want to hear it again that, one guy didn't make sense because where we were as a franchise. We don't want to hear that we should have taken Kevin Durant over, or that Greg Oden was the right pick over Kevin Durant, even though at the time we all felt that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We don't want to hear
the revisionist history stuff.
That we drafted Sam Bowie over Michael Jordan.
It's not even
right?
It's not about where the franchise is. They took what they thought was the best player available. It was actually the opposite of what they thought. It wasn't about fit. It wasn't about that. It was take the biggest swing at the player they thought would be the best.
Well, they have whiffed nearly 100 games into his career.
Yes.
I mean, there's no other way to
put it. No, I mean, you take a look at where Scoot sits right now through 100 games. He's somewhere between Emmanuel Mudiay and Sebastian Telfair.
Damn.
Like, that's not me just, saying that. The numbers bear it out.
But until you get the star, you don't have a spot.
No, it did. Yeah. None of this stuff matters. You're stuck in. There's two places in the NBA you can get stuck, at the very bottom and in the middle. It's a lot more fun, quote unquote, in the middle because you get to have some fun and you get to make the playoffs. But there's a ceiling that you will never, ever break.
Well, that was the Blazers.
Yes.
That was the Blazers before. And it's now it's a different kind of suck now.
But now there's not a ceiling.
Yeah.
But there's also not a floor. It can just, for everybody's like, this is as bad as it could possibly be. No, it's not.
Now, Washington.
Go watch the Washington Wizards play basketball. Sitting with three scouts last night, and we're talking about just kind of where teams are at, and they were just like, you know, I can't imagine being where that team is right now.
Yeah,
like they're orders of magnitude worse, and it's like there was a Blazers fan on the YouTube chat on the postgame show last night who was like, I'd rather be Charlotte. They have two stars to build around. Like, LaMelo Ball has been there for years, and what do they have to show for it?
Nothing. Well, Brandon Miller.
Well, I mean, again, but Brent, and again, as much as I like Miller, like, are they really better off? You're like, oh, they have better assets. I'm like, do they?
Yeah, not really.
Because none of it's working.
Yeah. Well, it's not working here either, and I think after this year, people are going to want to see that turn around. But last night was bad, especially because now what you're seeing, and you talked about this at the beginning of this, is that the veterans are starting to say, all right, what's my next move? Mm-hmm. That's the slipperiest slope. We're not even halfway through the season.
No, and I think you're seeing it from more than just the veterans.
Yeah.
I think you're just seeing, like, when you look out there and you watch the game for the last three games, like the homestand, it's funky. It's funky. And I'm like, well, fire Chauncey. I'm like, no. The last thing you want to do right now is go, hey, you know what you should do in a season where things are starting to fall apart? Let's go to an interim head coach.
Well, yeah. What are you looking for? A spark to win games?
Yeah, it's like,
I don't think that's the answer either.
Right now, a lot of times with the tank stuff, it's just plugging your nose and crawling through the tunnel.
All right. Well, we are in the S-pipe right now. We're Andy Dufresne, mm-hmm. and we're trying to get out that S-pipe, and it's going to be a long crawl. All right.
Check back in, was it May 22nd?
We got some logs to crawl over right now.
Look, was it May 22nd or May 23rd? On that day, a lot of things will be decided.
A lot of people may lose their mind, too. Yeah. Good and bad.
Good and bad.
Good and bad. All right. Well, let's get to Football Friday, shall we? What sound does a goat make? We'll answer that for you next. I promise you, this is football related. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.
Oh, hi. It's a fun time because I think Dusty fell in the well, and we're going to have to go send the search party out to go get him.
I think I see him.
Is he sprinting
hauling
back?
Hauling arse this way.
All the way back?
All the way back.
There he is.
Yeah, I'm having computer issues.
You are.
I had to, on my old laptop there, install the Windows 11.
Mm.
My internet is completely screwed up now. My Chrome, it is so jacked up. I have to log in like 800 different times. I hate technology.
Mm. It hates you.
Oh, so much. So much. So I was just talking with Engineer Joey on what the next fixes are going to be. So sorry.
Fixes.
Yeah, like air quotes. Throwing this thing into the Willamette. Don't know if that's a fix for it. Don't know if that's a fix for it or not.
I think the poo would help.
Probably. Hmm. Probably would.
Grease it up a little bit.
It might work. It might work a little bit better. I promised that we were going to have goat talk, and I got goat talk for you. This comes to us courtesy of NFL Films. And the way that this video starts with a Baker Mayfield to Mike Evans touchdown, and the way it finishes between a conversation of Vita Vea, and I can't really make out who he's talking to. I think he's talking to Golston, but it does not end the way that I thought it would. And I'm going to tell you right now, I would just end the conversation with, yes, you're right, sir.
The ball was spotted at the 1 yard line. Is it caught? Yes. Touchdown, Tampa Bay. Mike Evans, fire the cannons.
Here you go. Here you go. The greatest buck of all time.
Oh,
the greatest buck of all time.
That's the sound goats make. Ah, oh, they don't. That's sheep.
No,
the goats say ah.
Oh. Bro, no.
How y'all doing? That's what goats do, bro.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. The sheep say mad.
I own my own farm of goats, bro. How you gonna tell me?
Have you seen the new Thor movie?
And I think it was William Goldston and Vita Vea. No, I have not.
Oh, there's a thing in there where they have, he gets given a gift of goats, and they go, ah!
Yeah. Yeah, they more yell.
Yeah.
But I don't care. Have you seen Vita Vea?
What he says goes.
He could tell me that a goat says moo, and I'd be like, yeah, you're probably right.
I got my own farm of goats, bruh.
But then he just looks at him like, I got my own farm of goats. How are you going to tell me what they sound like? He's like, no, they don't. So William Goldston versus Vita Vea. Now, Goldston is a very large human. He is 6'6", 281 pounds.
Lightweight.
Vita Vea.
What's he listed at?
6'4", 347.
Yeah, I think that's probably light.
That man.
And he moves like a deer.
He's Polynesian, yeah, so he's as strong as an ox and as quick as a goat.
Yeah. Watching him play is just, they were talking about him in the playoff game, like, yeah, no, the Commanders should really go with tempo to make sure that he can't be on the, like, if they see him go off the field,
yep.
Go with tempo for like three plays, because you can get three plays without him.
That man is such a disruptor to watch. I'm in awe of people like him. Because, like, it's so different, interior defensive lineman, when, like, Aaron Donald was a tactician, mm-hmm. and he was wickedly strong, but he would just, like, if you tried to put a hand on him, he would just counter it, and
knife
it was
hands.
Like, nope. Vita Vea is a man that he just takes other 300-pound men and tosses them to the side. I mean, he is very reminiscent of Haloti Ngata from, like, the build,
yes.
the sheer strength, the way that they just are disruptors, where it's like a double team. Think of a double team in the NFL. That's over 600 pounds mm-hmm. leaning on you. And
some of the strongest humans on the planet.
He moves them backwards.
Mm-hmm. Regularly.
Just like two guys, nah, one arm for you, one arm for you, and both of you are going into your quarterback's mm-hmm. lap. It's incredible.
The only other guy currently doing that is Chris Jones. They had his playoff pressures and double teams. I think he leads the league in the last 3 years, but he has also faced three times the number of double teams.
It seems like, impressive. And the goal when you get double teamed is to just hold your ground.
Yeah, occupy two.
Hold your ground. Don't get pushed back. Don't give up any ground. Allow a linebacker to make a play. Mm-hmm. Vita Vea is like, nah.
I'm going to beat this two and make mm-hmm. him put a third, or I'm going to get a negative play in the backfield. Enjoy.
Golly.
When you really think about that, like, you know, you see like, you know, a player like that who has defensive numbers, and you're like, oh, I mean, he only has like five sacks. And it's like, he's getting doubled every single snap.
Good point on the Vancouver Ford text line, too. He did run a route last week, and I am very disappointed that that play didn't work, because they lined him up, and usually you bring in the defensive tackle, and he's just going to be a lead blocker, and he's going to mow some people over. He gave like a little hesitation, like, I'm going to get the outside linebacker, and then he released out into the flat, and they couldn't get him the ball. I love the fact, though, he walked over on the sideline. You could see him. He was like, I was going to one-hand it. I was going to moss him. You know, I was just going to go up and just haul that in. If that ball would have come my way, he had the confidence that, yeah, I was going to make that happen. I need a 343-pounder with a one-hand touchdown catch. I need it in my life.
I want it in the open field to where you get a chance to get the truck stick.
Yeah.
I love
run a fake punt a la Jordan Birch.
Get the thick six, but with – I want to see a defensive back make a life choice.
Yeah.
Do you make the play, or do you end your season?
No, I think the move there is, there's two things, two courses of action if you're that DB. One, you make like a half-hearted, I'm just going to dive at his feet and hope maybe he trips
maybe
over me.
Stumble him up, yeah.
Or I wait for him to run past me and I just jump on his back and try to punch the ball out.
Actually works pretty effectively, because they're not used to holding the ball.
Yeah, and if that doesn't work, then at least we're going to have like a master blaster touchdown mm-hmm. where I am riding on his shoulders all the way to the end zone, and I'm just trying to punch that ball out any way possible. Those are the only two things that a DB would ever do to a man that large running in the open field. You know? Or you just kind of run up to him, so he thinks he has to, like, juke, and maybe he just trips on his own
or
feet.
Or you slow the momentum.
Because
when they do the juke, they're no longer doing the...
Mm-hmm. And then you just try to push
the forward the forward lean, you know?
It's not going to happen, man. It's not going to happen. All right. Let's get to the NFL playoffs. So the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will not be playing.
No, sadly.
This weekend. But
their opponent will.
Tomorrow, the Washington Commanders will be playing. They take on the Detroit Lions in the nightcap of our doubleheader of divisional round weekend. Let's start with the AFC number one overall seed, the two-time defending Super Bowl champions. That is Patrick Mahomes and those Kansas City Chiefs taking on the Houston Texans. It's going to be cold, and it's going to be a game where we're going to see just how good this Chiefs offense is as they get ready for a Super Bowl run and a three-peat. Danny and Dusty on the Fan.